Welcome back, everybody, to the Puma Podcast. I am Tori.
And I'm Puma.
And yeah, thank you for joining with us again in our Names of God series. This is the sixth episode, and we actually have a pretty popular name today, kind of made popular in recent days.
Yeah, it's probably one that people probably have heard. It's not like Sekenu last time.
Well. Yeah, Sekenu with a T. Crazy. But yeah, so hey, let's dive into this new name of God.
Yeah, as we've been going through the names of God, we've had kind of a theme verse, and that theme verse is Psalm 9:10, which says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." And as we've been going through the names of God, hopefully, I know for myself, I mean, the more I've kind of looked at these names, that it's not like one particular name itself is all-encompassing as far as helping us understand who God is. But when you start piecing them all together in this composite of all these different names, and that these are all names that reveal characteristics of God and who he is, and you start putting it together, hopefully in your hearts, as it's been in mine, that your perspective of God is growing and getting bigger, and that he's more amazing than you ever thought, and really, yeah, you know, higher and greater than maybe we really ever comprehended.
Yeah, it's almost like a puzzle piece. Like there are these beautiful pieces, these names of God, and then when you put it all together, you get a more clear picture, but then you appreciate just who God is more because it all comes together in a really, wonderful, beautifully creative way even too, how God is all these different names, but also not just these titles, that's who he is, his character, his heartbeat. You can see more clearly when they're all put together.
Yeah, we started with Jehovah, and Jehovah was God's personal name. And when we talked about just names in general, when someone shares their name with you, they are inviting into relationship. And so one of the things God wanted us to understand is that he is a personal God who desires relationship with us. You know, the reason why he gave Israel the name Jehovah is because he wanted Israel to know him and to relate to him, just like he wants us to know him and to relate to him. Mm-hmm. We talked about Jehovah Rohi, and that is the Lord is my shepherd. Why does God want us to know that? Because he wants us to call out to him and to follow him. Everyone's following someone or something, and God said, I want to be the shepherd over your life, because I am a shepherd that is good, a shepherd that's going to lead you exactly where you need to go. I'm going to provide exactly, you know, what's necessary. We also looked at Jehovah Rapha, and that is the Lord who heals. Why does God want us to know that he is the God who heals? It's because he wants us to go to him when, you know, we're physically broken, but more importantly, wants us to go to him when our hearts are broken, when we sin, when we know that we are not right on the inside. And he wants us to go to him for healing. We looked last time at Jehovah Sekenu. Why does he call himself the Lord our righteousness? He's going to raise up a king, a shepherd who's going to be called Lord our righteousness. Is because he wants us to know that we can't be right without him, and he so desperately wants us to be right that he's going to provide a righteous one who comes from the line of David, who is not just going to be right, but give righteousness so that we could be in right relationship with God.
That's Jesus right there.
Yeah. You know, because he wants us to relate to him. He wants us to know him. This is why he gives us the names. He wants us to know who he is. Mm. So we're going to look at another name of God today, and the name is Jehovah Jireh. Probably many of you listening probably have heard that name before.
I mean, yeah, Jehovah Jireh, it's in some songs. It's kind of becoming more popular, I would say, in recent days. But yeah, I mean, if you've been to church, you might have heard this one before.
Yeah, it's a name that, and it just kind of, like some of the other names, Jehovah Jireh, JJ, you know, right? I mean, it just kind of rolls off. And Jireh is kind of a cool name, like Jireh. I mean, you're not going to probably name your kid Sekenu, but or Rohi, but you know, Jireh might be kind of a cool name today.
Jireh.
Well, like all the names of God that we have in the Bible, they usually come out of a particular situation or something going on, and Jehovah Jireh is no exception to that. So probably most listening probably have heard of Abraham.
The Lincoln guy.
Abraham Lincoln. Right? Abraham, and you know, some of the history of Israel started with Abraham, you know, as the, you know, Father Abraham had many sons.
That's right. Sing the song. Yeah, yeah. Comes with motions. We all know
that. Motions. Yeah. So in Genesis chapter 12, you have God who calls a man Abram at the time, and the God later changes his name to Abraham, but calls one man, and he, you know, was from Ur, and one of the main industry was making idols.
Hmm.
I mean, we don't know if Abraham was an idol maker or his father was, but that was kind of the culture that he was in.
Hmm.
And so God chose one man. He said, I want to make a covenant relationship with you, and I will be your God, and you and your descendants will be my people. And Abraham said, I'm in. And God said in Genesis 12, I'm going to bless you. You know, I'm going to make your name great. You're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, and, you know, from your own, you know, flesh and blood, you're going to have descendants, and the whole world, including you and I, Tori, will be blessed through what God does with Abraham.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and that's what God says there in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham says, well, that's really awesome. And Abraham says, well, there's one question I have, and you know, that question is, I'm 75 years old and I have no kids.
Yeah. Oof-da.
Yeah, which is an issue. Well, fast forward a little bit. God says, no, you know, one coming from, you know, your own body and you and your wife, Sarah. You know, a child is going to come from the two of you, and that is going to be the child of promise through which I'm going to fulfill my promises. Well, 25 years pass before the child of promise is finally born. Abraham is 100 years old.
100 years old?
He's 100 years old.
Abraham, one that God promised all
right.
the...
And his wife is...
He's 100 years old.
And his wife is 90 years young. When, all right, so...
That's right, 90 years young.
90 years young when Isaac is born. And,
wow.
You know, God is faithful to his promises. And so Abraham waited after God told him. Abraham was already an old man, and he still had to wait 25 years for God's promise to be fulfilled that a child through him and Sarah would be born, the child of promise.
Wow, it's a long time to wait.
It's a long time. So if you are promised something amazing, and then you have to wait 25 years after you've already waited most of your life, that gift would be pretty special to you.
Oh, yeah. The expectation. I mean, it's hard to wait 1 year for Christmas. I mean, I imagine,
right.
But not even a gift, like your own offspring, your lineage. I mean, that would be so hard.
And we're so horrible at waiting today. Right. I mean, I send a text and, you know, 5 minutes later, I'm like, why is there not a reply?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you imagine? I mean, just the waiting for it. And finally, when all hope was lost and seemed impossible, where they were past the age of natural childbearing, and God miraculously gives them a child.
Mm-hmm.
So Isaac was the child of promise, the child of promise. Well, fast forward a little bit more, probably 10, 15 years. And we get to Genesis chapter 22, and it says sometime later, we don't know exactly how much time later after, you know, after Isaac was born, but sometime later, it says God tested Abraham. Dun, dun, dun.
Cue the music in the background.
Yeah, you can hear it building up. God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, yeah, here I am. And God said, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Now there's an understatement.
Yeah.
I mean, how would Abraham not love this child? Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about.
So God, who promised this kid, right, to Abraham, promised Isaac. Isaac comes, and then even here, as he's older, not only does God recognize that he loves him, like your son, your only son, like God knows the stakes here. And yet he commands Abraham to sacrifice his kid.
Yeah. God says, I want you to take your son, your only son whom you love, and I want you to go to a mountain that I will tell you about. God says, I'm going to tell you where to go. And on that particular mountain, I want you to sacrifice your son. Now, when we think of sacrifice, right, I think this is really helpful. We think of sacrifices, so often we think of just what we're giving up. But a sacrifice is giving up, yes, something of value to get something of greater value. That's really what a sacrifice is. We sacrifice is not a negative thing, it's a positive thing. I like my sleep, okay? I like sleep.
Yeah.
But I will get up at 4 a.m. to drive to Chicago to see a 120 Chicago Cubs baseball game. I will sacrifice sleep, money, and time, things that are valuable to me, to gain something that to me is of greater value, and that is the opportunity to go see the Cubs, even though they typically lose when I do that. So
interesting. Yeah, so it's almost like a trade for something better. Like an athlete gets up, like you said, early, works out, you know, 4 hours a day to go to the Olympics, probably more than that actually. But they sacrifice certain things because they want that gold medal. They want something better.
Yeah, so we always think of sacrifice. So in the Bible, right, they were told to offer sacrifices to God. So you raise this animal, which costs money and time. And the economy, that, you know, that was cash. You know, animals are cash.
Right.
But you sacrifice this thing of value because of what you're receiving to you is of greater value. See, if being right with God and having your sin dealt with so that you could be right with God is of a great value to you, then the animal that you're sacrificing, though it is of value, you're sacrificing something of value to gain something of greater value. Mm. So that's the picture. So when God hears tests, he's testing Abraham. Right? Well, so what's the test? It's saying, Abraham, what is of greatest value to you? Mm. His son was of great value. He says, I want you to take your only son.
Right. Yeah, the Lord knew the stakes here. I mean, God was, yeah. He knew what he was asking of Abraham.
Knew what he said. Take your son, your only son, whom you love. I mean, he just takes the icing and just kind of spreads it all over that cake. Your only son. And I want you to go to the mountain that I will tell you about, and I want you to sacrifice him there. Mm. In other words, here is the son of promise. He is of high value to you, and I want you to give him to me. Sacrifice him, give him to me, because, Abraham, there's something of greater value that you will receive from that. And see, that's really the choice that we have so often when God asks us of something, to give up something. God's not asking because he wants to make life miserable. He's asking because he has something of greater value from his perspective for us if we are willing to give up or lay down something, sacrifice something that we perceive as value, because we recognize that God's value that he wants to return to us is of greater worth than what we're giving up.
I mean, what was this greater thing that God was offering? I mean, we know Isaac's valuable, so to sacrifice, is it just obedience? I mean, what is the trade-off here for Abraham?
Yeah, well, as a story, it's a good question. So they take off for the mount, that the Lord's going to show. So we'll kind of get there, hopefully.
Okay, yeah. No, we're good.
If we don't, we'll just not get there. But no, but that's a good question. Yeah, so they take off, and it's about a three-day journey.
Wow.
That they go. So early in the morning, they take off. On the third day, verse 4 of Genesis 22, Abraham looked and saw the place in the distance. And so he said to his servants, you know, stay here with the donkey and the stuff. And he says, Isaac and I will go up to the mountain and worship, and then we will come back to you. So they were going to a mountain where the Lord told them to go. So they're going where God is telling them to go. God says, when you get there, I want you to give Isaac back to me. Mm. Basically, he said, I want you to give Isaac back to me. Are you willing to give him back to me? Because I am worth it, worth following. Am I really worth obeying? Are you willing to give up that which is of great worth? Because I have something of greater worth, which is myself, to offer you. Are you willing to go there? And it's not like God is being sadistic here, trying to, you know, the beginning, he said it was testing Abraham's faith, testing his faith. So Abraham took the wood and went up there and, you know, laid them down and built the altar. And, you know, Isaac says, you know, in verse 7, Dad, like the fire in the wood is here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?
Oh, so he knew.
Well, see, that they had already understood that we offer things, sacrifice things to God in exchange for right relationship with God. And it's not like we have to kind of pay God off, but the picture of, especially the offering of sacrifice and burnt offerings and sacrificing an animal and the animal dying and shedding the blood was really kind of a picture of the cost of sin. right? It's, it's the cost of sin, and it's the cost that sin damages relationships. And we've kind of talked about this a little bit in these podcasts, but, you know, one of the issues with sin, what makes sin so bad, is that sin destroys relationships. Sin is that, and that's the great consequence of sin. So in physical death is a consequence of sin. It you know, separates people relationally, life from death. But spiritually, it separates people when we sin against each other. There's a barrier in the relationship. And between us and God, there's a barrier in that relationship. Cannot be restored unless sin is dealt with. And so the sacrifices is the relationship with God worth giving up something I value because I'm gaining something to me that is of greater value, right relationship with God. And so that's the sacrifice trade-off. And so the Lord is testing Abraham. And here Abraham, he said, I made a promise. I made a promise that you and Sarah will have a child, the two of you, and through that child, your descendants will be as numerous as the sand of the seashore and the stars in the sky. So Abraham, do you really believe me when I made that promise? And so here's the test.
Oh, man.
Here's the test. Here's the test.
The music is crescendoing to this point.
Yep. Verse 8, Abraham answered, verse 8, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. He said, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.
Wow.
Yeah. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. And he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. So Abraham called that place on top of that mountain Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide, or the Lord will do what is necessary. The Lord will do what is required. That's what it means, that Jehovah Jireh. It's not that, I mean, God is, he does provide for us, and we like the fact that God provides us water, you know, money, and, you know, provides, we like that about him. But what is going on here is that the Lord is going to do what is necessary to take care of the issue. That's Jehovah Jireh. He's going to do what is necessary. And the place was Mount Moriah, where this happened.
Mount Moriah?
Mount Moriah.
Now, sounds familiar.
Yeah, do you know where Mount Moriah is?
It's in Jerusalem?
Mount Moriah is, it's in Jerusalem. In fact, it is the mount where the temple was built.
Oh, wow.
So, like 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1, it says, then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, the very place that the Lord told Abraham to go to test him on whether or not he was willing to sacrifice his son, his only son, whom he loves. Was the very place that the temple of God was built, and the very city and the very place where God the Father eventually would be faced with the same challenge. My son, my only son, whom I love. And the Father was willing to give up his son, Jesus Christ, provide what was necessary.
Wow.
On the very place that he tested Abraham to give up his only son, Isaac.
Wow.
See, that's not a coincidence. This is why all the names of God all together form a picture, like a fuller picture, right? So Yahweh, he wants a relationship with us. You know, he is the shepherd. He is going to lead us where we need to go. He is the healer. He's the one that can provide healing. He is our righteousness, what we need. And Jehovah Jireh, he is going to provide exactly what is necessary at the very exact time, in the very exact place where Jesus gave his life as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Last time we talked about Jehovah Tsidkenu, and I mentioned 1 John chapter 2, you know, he says, if anyone sins, we have one who stands before us in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And then it says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That is Jehovah's provision, Jehovah Jireh, providing exactly what we need at the very spot that he asked Abraham to sacrifice his own son. And if we were to have time to go to Hebrews 11, that hall of faith in there, it says that the writer Hebrews, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, when Abraham did this that day, he trusted God so completely that even if God did not stop him from plunging the knife into the son, into the chest of his son, that Abraham believed that God would be able to raise him back to life because God promised that it was through Isaac that the promise of blessing, not just for Abraham and his descendants, but also for you and me, was going to come through. And so we see that all the way through Jesus. He is the provision of God. It's not an accident that Jesus is called the Lamb of God.
That's true.
Who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb who was sacrificed for us. Kind of going back to last time too, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin, Jesus, to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, the atoning sacrifice that we need. And that happened at the very spot where Abraham said, I want you to go and sacrifice your son, your only son whom you love. See, the father knew that was exactly what he was going to end up doing at that very spot. And what an amazing picture of in the Old Testament there in Genesis 22, that God is already showing us that he is Jehovah Jireh at that very place, that he is going to provide what is necessary for us to be rescued and to have our sin atoned for. It's just amazing. It's just amazing.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's so cool that Jehovah Jireh is also, I mean, he provides, but he also knows our needs. I mean, you can't provide for something you don't know, right? So like, yeah, just the love and intentionality that God not only sees us and knows us, he sees our needs. And even like Rafa, right? I mean, he can heal us. He's going to provide. He's going to provide for his people. And that is kind of, you know, summarized ultimately in Jesus Christ, that he did provide everything that we need for all eternity.
Right.
On the same mountain. That's incredible.
Right.
That's
the very, very spot. Yeah. Which goes back to our theme verse, Psalm 9:10. You know, and every time we kind of go it in another name of God, it's like the verse takes on new meaning.
Yeah.
You know, it says, those who know your name, Jehovah, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Segenu, Jehovah Jireh, those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. You know, God wants us to seek him with all our heart, and he's making himself known to us through the pages of Scripture. And so I hope the names of God have been encouraging for you as they have been for me. And I just the Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, he knows exactly what we need, and he has given us the provision that will save our souls.
Praise God for these names. This is, I know I'm personally encouraged. And yeah, like you said, Puma, hopefully you guys are too. And thank you so much for tuning in. We just appreciate you guys learning with us as we just kind of talk about and share really what God is, his word says, you know, appreciate these times. So thanks for tuning in with the series, guys. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out and email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. And yeah, tune in next week for another episode of One of the Names of God.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.